Welcome to episode 403 of the Sideshow Podcast, our last regular episode of the year and of the decade. Our next two will be our...
That feels weird.
Yeah, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Our next two will be our normal end of the year shenanigans, where Nick and I are also putting together an end of the decade list, which is extra fun because we weren't around 2010. So
yeah.
We're kind of faking that one. Which, by the way, I know I owe some input to that. So we're working on that. We're working on our normal end of the year lists, which we're going to have a little bit of a rule change to. Spoiler alert. It's a lot to do. And, you know, it's always our favorite thing, making lists.
Totally.
Nitpicking what album I like more than another one. Yeah. 9 years. What? Almost 9 years doing this and...
Yep.
Still don't care for
it. Hasn't gotten easier.
No.
You would think doing less albums would make it easier, but I'm not sure it did.
No. I want to say, last year's I don't remember being bad, but 2 years ago, I remember having an easy time. So I was just like, you know what? Fuck it. And I had the really weird list with, like, Unleash the Archers at the top. You know what? I stand by that. I listened to the shit out of that album. But at any rate, that'll be the next couple weeks. This week... We're doing a preemptive shit we missed episode. There wasn't a hell of a lot of new stuff coming out this week that we were interested in, and Decibel and a few other places released their year-end list, so we went searching through and picked some off of those that we decided we would probably go back to anyway in January, so why not do it now and see if it changes our own end of the year list? I think we had mentioned last time, our last show, which was 2 weeks ago, that Decibel had their list out, and we actually reviewed a whole bunch of the albums on there. So now we're adding three more to that. This is easily the biggest overlap we've had with them.
Yeah.
Or at least since the beginning of the show, but probably ever. So starting that, we're checking out Spirit Adrift, the album Divided by Darkness. It's out on 20 bucks spin. It is number 8 on Decibel's year-end list. It was also on the three main editors of Metal Sucks' list. So, and we reviewed the last album. We liked it. And so we're like, all right, we'll go back and check this out. I like this way more than the first one. Well, second one, the last one we reviewed. First of all, the production's far better.
Yeah.
I went back to... What the hell's the name of that album?
Curse of Conception.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I went back to that today and was like, oh, right, that's what it sounded like. This production is clearer, crisper, bolder, a little more aggressive. And the band is more aggressive. And that is what I like more. They are no longer just a doom band. They are... And they're not just some old school metal band like one of the other ones we're checking out this week. They're just like a metal band, period. Heavy metal band, if you want. And that is way more appealing to me. It's something that is timeless, really. Like, it's not a throwback. It's not, you know, some new era of things. It's just metal. The riffs are... the songs are catchy. The riffs are... Well, they're catchy too, and the whole band is really tight. The solos are just as impressive and technical as you'd expect, but also just tasteful and fitting for a song. They don't, despite the style or lack thereof, if you will, that they're doing, nothing overstays its welcome. The writing doesn't have fat to be trimmed. And there's enough diversity on the album too, where you get, you know, a little part of, you know, Angel and Abyss is almost a little ballady, and the album ends on an instrumental, which is also, fitting of their sound, just takes out the clean vocals, which even have a little extra energy behind them too, and aren't just like these light cleans sitting over the music. So this was... I like this way more than I was even anticipating. And interestingly, Nick texted me earlier in the week before I'd even listened to it. and asked, because he said in the beginning of the first song reminded him a little bit of like when Machine Head was good. In the intro, he said that, you know, the drum build, the lead line, the rhythm section, it was giving off a very blackening era vibe. And I get that, but I also hear a bit more of that throughout the album in places. And just in part of the song we're going to play, the way, you know, the riff plays over the rhythm section and such. But again, they are just a metal band, like, period. So that's where
right. This
is a little old, a little new. It's just timeless, and it works. I really enjoyed this.
Yeah, this was a big surprise for something that we were not really planning on reviewing, even though I need to say we both did give Curse of Conception 4s. Mm-hmm. Like, we did not hate that album by any means. It was just a little bit slower and lethargic of pacing and not quite as dialed up as this one is. And this one just kind of delivers a little bit more fully on all of that. The last one felt a little bit more like this is a doom metal band relying heavily upon a throwback sound.
Exactly.
And they lost that on this, and they moved that throwback sound to more of like a, it's still a doom band, but it's like, let's rein in on more of a classic metal vibe instead of a throwback vibe. And that works so much better for what this is. Everything is a little riffier. It's a little noodlier. There's licks throughout it that you're like, ah, hell yeah, that's great. The performances just all around are substantially more lively. And that's really like, to have something that is of generally mid-tempo, mid-slow tempo pacing, to still have like very invigorating, uplifting performances really sets that apart from a lot of their contemporaries and makes this a very good listen. The only song on here I really didn't like is Angel in Abyss, which is the one that you said starts off a little ballady. It reminds me of like if Blizzard of Oz era Randy Rhoads joined up to write This Love by Pantera.
Wow.
It has that really quiet, somber verse thing. Heartbreak gets heavy, goes back to the quiet thing, heartbreak gets heavy, and then does a straight up Ozzy worship riff to the end of the song, complete with the Crazy Train laugh track at the end of it. And like, that was a little bit too on the nose for me. That one didn't quite connect, but the rest of this album, like, I find almost no faults with this. This was worthy of going back and checking out. I enjoyed this immensely.
Yeah. Agreed. I think, and I have to go with a 5 on it. I've been between a 4 and a 5 the whole time.
Yeah, I have too. I didn't want to give any 5s this week because it means I have to re-examine my year-end shit. But I think if I'm being honest with myself, this one is worthy of it. I enjoyed this a lot.
Yeah.
So,
and
yeah, good job, everybody at Metal Sucks. You were right. This one's good.
Yeah. And look, we agreed with Decibel on something.
Shit, right. That's the bigger takeaway. There's more we agree with them on.
And it's side note, it's funnier. What's funny is they gave Crypt Sermon number 4 slot, and this was number 8. And we reviewed Crypt Sermon, and we liked it, but this struck us a little more, and I think we would flip-flop that. At any rate, for those of you that haven't listened to the Spirit of Drift album yet, check out the song Hear Her off of the album Divided by Darkness.
We'll be right back.
All right, that was Hear Her from Spirit Adrift's latest Divided by Darkness. It's out on 20 bucks spin. If you liked that, go listen to the rest of the album. It's all very good. And let us know what you thought. It's never too late to tell us what other albums we missed throughout the year, since we did reduce our listening volume by 50%. So if you feel like heading over to thesideshowpodcast.com and leaving a comment on this week's episode of other shit we should be checking out, we typically do start next year with at least one, if not two, shit we missed sessions. So feel free to leave any recommendations over there if you have any.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of leaving recommendations over there, we are still kind of honing in on what we want to do for our Sideshow ABCs, Bands Across America, whatever is going to be next for next year. We have a couple ideas that could prove to be very fun. But if you have any other input on that, we'd be curious to hear if there's something you'd like us to try or explore. So please feel free to share any ideas you have. As always, leave a comment, hit us up social media, whatever works. Okay, enough of that. Moving on to something drastically different than anything else we listened to this week. This one was on Decibel's list and two lists on Metal Sucks, if I'm right about that. I think I am.
No, it was on. This was also on three.
This is on three.
Three Decibel, okay. Or Metal Sucks list. Yes.
Okay. That is Devin Townsend with the album Empath out on Inside Out. We've reviewed three of Devin's albums on the show before. We did Epic Cloud, we did the second Ziltoid, and we did Transcendence. My ratings on them have steadily gone down the more we've covered. Ziltoid being a weird standout on its own sort of thing. But my takeaway on this is kind of the same. I don't know why this would make anybody's year end. It's fun. It's a novelty. It's humorous to listen to once or twice. But there's nothing on here better or different than what you have heard for the last couple albums. Like, there was never a point on this where I was like, oh man, this is a huge step forward, improvement, revision of whatever, compared to anything we heard on Epicloud, like, you know, back in episode 51. You know, when you get to something like that song, the one that we kind of grabbed onto there that Grace. We talked about the most was Grace. And it had like that just really tight rhythm bass section thing with like big choral movement behind it and big symphonic type stuff to it. It's like, yeah, that has just become what he does now. And that is literally every song on this album, except for sometimes you also get cats meowing in the background. and like, I don't know. There's not really a place in my library or in my heart for that type of shenanigans. Like, at this point, Devin kind of occupies the same space that Weird Al does as a 35-year-old dude. Like, I'll listen to an album when it comes out, and I'll laugh at it once, and then I don't ever need to go listen to it again. And that's this. Like, there's nothing on here that really connected with me. The production is top fucking notch. It always is. He is great at that.
Mm-hmm.
And the riffs, some of them are really good. But it's just so densely oversaturated with extemporaneous stuff that doesn't need to be there. And it loses touch with, like, craftsmanship and good songwriting. And I could not care about it. And then you throw in, what, a 13-minute song and a 23-minute song, I think, at the end? 23-and-a-half-minute song? Like, no, dude.
Yeah.
I'm out. I'm done. yeah, I don't know. I want to like this more. I want to give it a 3 for being, like, solid riffs. But I so sincerely don't care that the best I can honestly give this is a 2.
Densely overpopulated with extraneous stuff is like the definition of this album. Yeah. It is self-indulgent to a fault. And he was kind of like, every review pretty much said that it's a lot. And he said he was doing something big and it was personal, and it sounds personal when you listen to the lyrics of a lot of the songs. Some are just weird, but there is some like clearly personal things in there, but there's too much going on for it to be enjoyable. Like, for Strapping on Glad is easily our the favorite thing, favorite project he's done for either of us. Yep. It was also the most metal, but that's, I mean, there was some good stuff on his Devin Townsend project materials. Like Addicted was a solid album. Deconstructed was pretty decent, but like there's still only there's like a little too much here and there to make it really good for going back to. I actually love the Ziltoid album, the first one. I thought that was solidly written, and its bombast was constrained in the whole space thing, so it didn't branch out into all this weird shit. Empath, it took all the bombastic bits from all the albums and put it all into like one fucking song, and then there was, you know, nine more. So that's what, there's just too much. There is no restraint here, and the songwriting suffers because of it. I mean, to say there's fat to be trimmed here is a fucking understatement. It was really, I listened to this twice all the way through, and that was hard. Because by the time I got to partway through Borderlands, I was done, and I still had fucking over half an hour left on this hour and 14-minute album.
Yeah, I was looking to add it to my library, and the first one that comes up is the extended edition. And I was like, no, absolutely not. I didn't
see there was an extended edition. Good fucking God.
There's bonus tracks, like four or five of them. And I was like, no way.
No. I mean, there is a song like Hear Me, which is the most Strapping Young Lad-esque of these songs. It's also, even though it's not the longest, it's not the shortest song in the album, it is one of the most concisely written songs. Because there's a spacey, like a big female vocal choral part in a couple spots, and then it's just very fast and heavy. And it doesn't, there's no fucking cats meowing and birds chirping, and it doesn't go way out into left field and go to some like samba music or some shit. Like it's, yeah, this sounds hard. I respect Devin. He's a mad genius. And he does a lot of great work on his own and, you know, working with other artists and doing production and stuff. But like, the fact that this was number 14 on Decibel's list, which is six ahead of Cattle Decapitation, mind you.
Yeah.
Is just, and not to mention everything else it's ahead of, like, that is just mind-boggling to me. It's not that good.
Good. Yeah.
It's a lot.
Yeah. I know you, like, and I agree. I know you just said you respect him as a writer and as a, you know, as a composer and certainly as a producer, but like that respect is dwindling because so much of that isn't what you write. It's how you then edit. It's what you look at and listen back to and go, you know what? That's too much. It's overworked. Let me strip something out. That is half the process. And he clearly does not have an ear for that. You know, he is a one man project that has nobody going, yo, dude, maybe pump the brakes a little bit. And I think he really needs it at this point. Like, he's just gone so far in the self-indulgent direction that someone needs to steer him back a little. He needs another Strapping on that album that has other people collaborating and inputting to be like, yo, dude, there's no cats in this one. There's no we're not going to have a big like female choral arrangement on every single song. They don't all need it.
Well, and that's what I didn't do my own homework and read up on him and what his plan is for after Empath. Cause I feel like I remember hearing that he's going to start doing something else, or maybe it's going to be under the DTP name, or it's going to be something of a band or not this. But I could be wrong on that, but that's the thing. If he does say like, all right, Empath got it out of my system and here's something fresh and not this clusterfuck of whatever, then great. That is what he needs, and I think we need. Obviously, some people love this, but I think we could all do with a little just less. Mm-hmm. So,
agreed. What's your number?
I feel bad giving it a two, but I'm not going to listen to this ever again.
Yeah, right. That's the thing. And, you know, that might be a slightly overcritical too.
It is.
As simply pushback to how much praise this received elsewhere. But I'm never going to go back to it. So I don't really feel that bad doing it. So, yeah, that's it. Two twos. Devin Townsend, Empath. We're going to play the song Genesis. Check it out.
So that thing was Genesis by Devin Townsend. It's off his album Empath. It's out via Heavy Devi / Inside Out Records. We're curious to know what you think about it. If we're a little too harsh, or, you know, just right, or somewhere in the middle. Let us know on the, you know, social medias and website and all that jazz. So right now we have our last of the Sideshow ABCs pick, which for those of you that know the alphabet is the letter Z. And if you don't know the alphabet, I'm surprised you're listening to this show.
You're right at home.
We actually found three Z bands, none of which sucked. Nick found two of them, give credit where it's due, including this one, which is Zan, Z-I-N. They are from Washington. And though they've been around for almost 20 years, they have one album out for now. It is called Divide by Negative One, and it's written with the divide...
Like that's square root.
Square root negative one. That's right. I don't know my math symbols.
Which, fun fact, if you put that into a calculator, gives you error. So I think the album name is Error.
For the record, I knew it was that and just said it wrong. Anyway, I know my math symbols. So, but it's fitting to the sound. It is chaotic, as they call it, math grind, which is fitting. It's grindy. It's mathy. It's technical and spastic, and it is exactly why I chose this band over the other two. Mm-hmm. Maybe it was the fact that of all the other bands we were listening to this week, this was the biggest sore thumb, but it was very welcome. I mean, it's right in our wheelhouse of things we enjoy, like they mentioned some of their influences being like Dillinger. They even mentioned Car Bomb, Necrophagist, Black Dahlia Murder, like... It's all in there, and it's all just crazy good and flat out crazy. It's really all over the place math wise, but they write songs that are actually on the longer side for the style of music, but they don't feel that way. They don't feel like they should be, you know, minute and a half grind songs. When they drop a 5-minute song, it fucking works. There's enough diversity and good songwriting to make it happen.
Yeah, this is very, very enjoyable. It's definitely in our wheelhouse. And on a week where we were listening to a lot of not particularly heavy stuff, I was like, oh yeah, we need this one. According to their Facebook, they do have a new album coming out next year. So we have that to look forward to in 2020. We'll definitely be following that and hopefully reviewing that again in a little bit. But yeah, this was enjoyable. One funny anecdote, my dad borrowed my car and my phone was not in my pocket to pause it before he started driving. So as he booted it up and started driving down the street before it glitched out on Bluetooth, he got a nice full dose of this, which was hilarious. This is really good. I like it a lot. Parents don't like this music. Yeah,
that is a great definition for it. They should put that on a t-shirt. Parents don't like this music. So... off of the album Square Root of Negative One, got it this time, we're going to play the song Eventual Inevitability by the band Zan.
Yeah.
All right. And with that, this is our last new review of 2019. We are doing another one that was on multiple lists, including Decibels and Metal Sucks, since they're the ones that seemed to put lists out a couple weeks ago that we could pull from. And that is the latest Haunt album, If Icarus Could Fly, out on Shadow Kingdom Records. We have covered these guys once before. It was a while ago. Try to pull that up quickly while I'm talking here. Ooh, we did six things that have the word Haunt in it. There we go. Okay. Episode 359. That's not as long ago as I would have guessed. It was mid-2018. We both gave it threes and pretty much panned it a little bit as being too throwback inspired and not being particularly original. This is definitely a step in the right direction. This is far catchier. Mm-hmm. I found the music to be much more interesting, and these songs were constantly in my head this week. This was like very, very earwormy music. I'm not going to go so far as to say this is earning a place on my year-end list, but it is a solid four of an album. This is a step in a very good direction for them. The songwriting is just, it's so much better and more interesting and more fun and feels less throwbacky, but still of that era. It doesn't feel like they're just trying to write songs that you've heard by Judas Priest in the past. It feels like, okay, this is still an influence, but here's our spin on it for this decade. And I say for this decade because they already have the next album planned on coming out in January of next year. So there'll be one for next decade as well, pretty much immediately. But this was a big step forward. I found myself going back to this with regularity and enjoyment, which is not something I can really say about their last one. So I definitely understand it. And if you had more of a proclivity to listen to more of that, I'm going to say throwback sound, but, you know, take that for what it's worth. But if that is more of your wheelhouse, I understand why this is getting the placement it's getting on so many lists, mm-hmm. because I haven't heard anything that does this style and sound better than this year. So if that's right. kind of what you're going for and it's something that you need that void filled, this is going to do it about as good as anybody can. It's just not something that you and I particularly look for or go back to a lot, but I can at least notice and acknowledge all of the writing that went into this. I found to be far more enjoyable than the last one.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. Everything about it, from, again, just the songwriting, the riffs, the soloing, is a step up, and the pacing is better. I don't know if you remember when this was a Bandcamp pick I made, Satan's Hallow. Mm-hmm. One of the things that appealed to me about that was the faster pacing and riffiness of it that I hear more on this, on If Icarus Could Fly. It is definitely earwormy and more so, it's still more of a throwback than, say, Spirit Adrift has become, as we just talked about, but it's better than, like you said, it's better than most, and not just going, oh, we want to do this old sound. Like, if they're coming more into their own while taking from that era. So there would only have been, I don't even know if it'll have been a full year before that we review Mind Freeze, which comes out next month. I'm curious to see if they keep this progression going, because I think that could be really interesting. I mean, this is something I could see myself maybe going back to more if I want something not, you know, death grind. Right. Yeah, no, this is really tight. And again, we had skipped it because of our kind of neutral feelings on the previous album. So this was a very pleasant surprise. And we won't have to wait long to see what we think of the band next. So,
yeah, I will say now I'm excited for the one to come out next month versus like, oh, there's another Haunt album coming out already. Like, I'm stoked to go listen to it now. So,
yeah, because the other interesting thing is usually when we see bands this prolific, it's mostly not winners. Looking at you, Devil Driver. Well, because there was a period there where they had an album almost every year, it felt like, but there was only like a couple good songs on there.
Right.
Or as most recent output, just not good. So it's good to see that you can be prolific and good at the same time. This is a definite four for me.
Yeah. Awesome. All right. So that is 2 fours for Haunts If Icarus Could Fly. And as I said, that's going to wrap up the year of new music. I know none of these releases were particularly current, but they were still this year. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're going through, combing through some year-end lists. And there will be more year-end lists coming out soon. We haven't seen Metal Injections yet. We haven't seen anything from Heavy Blog yet, really.
I'm always interested in theirs.
They've started putting together, like, their post-metal wrap-ups and a couple other ones, but I haven't seen, like, just an overall of the year of 2019.
Yeah.
They're being a little bit more nuanced, and hopefully that's not the only way we're going to see things this year. I'm hoping we get just, like, a master list as well. But those generally don't come out for another week or two, which is what we use to pick our shit we missed for the beginning of next year. We know we'll have something for January, because Haunt. But beyond that, we have no plans and nothing lined up. So we're going to be combing your end lists. If you had anything that you think we should have listened to that we didn't, since we did about half the albums this year compared to previous years, please leave us a note, send us an email, leave it as a comment, hit us up on social media, suggest anything that you think we should cover or that we, you know, definitely missed throughout the year. And it can be a good opportunity to go check it out beginning of next year and talk about it. The other thing we can do on this one, I'm just spitballing off the top of my head as I'm thinking about it. We were talking earlier off the air about putting together our year-end list, and because we did so much less for reviews, but there were obviously other albums that we listened to and we both enjoyed that we didn't have time to review, I can think of two or three that would have been on my year-end list if we had covered them as the show. And I know Brian has a few as well. So we can kind of pull our own shit we missed lists and suggest stuff for the other person to listen to that we can revisit for January.
Yeah.
You know, pick a top two or three.
That's not a bad idea.
Yeah. So we'll see. But anyways, the point of that was, if there's anything you think we should check out, send it to us. Let us know. You know how to reach us. It's too late to tell you to go buy shit for Christmas on the site, because, like, that's about to happen. but that said, if you feel like doing that anyways, or you get that Amazon cash for Christmas and you want to throw us a few bucks, go through our site to get there, that would be dope.
Well, it's not too late, because by the time this goes up, there's still over a week and you get 2-day shipping. So you can do some last minute shopping.
Sure. What it is too late to do is buy Sideshow merch and have that show up anywhere on time. There's no way. Not that anyone buys that, but there's no way. But you could buy some for yourself for anyways, just for good measure. More importantly, go leave us a review somewhere. That helps. That is going to do it for 403 and for new music for 2019. With that, we are going to leave you with Haunt's song Clarion. We'll be back in, well, are we doing next week or 2 weeks? We had to figure that out, because we got two more episodes going, but we're splitting it up a little differently than normal. We're going to do our typical everything else contenders wrap up, and then the last show will be our best of 2019, and I guess probably tacked on to that same episode, best of the decade. We got to figure that out.
So
we're gonna go do that now.
We'll be back soon.
You're gonna listen to Clarion. We're gonna go do that. Bye.